Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You tune me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others of you have tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION at 1430 AM or 92.7 FM, and over in the Low Ada area, we also have it at 100.3. I'll get it right. I'm sorry, folks. FM, and that's at 8 o'clock. Others of you tuned me in by the way of WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com. I welcome you. Those of you that's listening by way of my website, I welcome you as well. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse. As soon as you bring your mouse up on Messages from the Lighthouse, it'll show you current media. Click on current media, and it takes you to the message for today and some other storage messages that are there. Whatever way you joined me, I'm just glad to have you being a part of our broadcast this morning and looking forward to sharing with you. My voice is still giving me trouble. That cough hung on for about 3 weeks, and it just left me with a little bit of raspiness as well. So I'm glad you joined me, though, this morning, and we'll just look forward to God's blessing upon our service. I need to say thank you to those that take care of this financial broadcast. So first of all, we're going to begin today with Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname. And she lives in Orleans, Michigan. For Gay London, memory and honor of her husband Dave, and she's from Greenville. Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee. And then Doug and Noreen Lane, they live in the Sheridan area, and I thank you for your support. And Bill and Junie Hammond, they live in the Belding area, and I appreciate their support. I appreciate K.N. King Singers Ministry and help me along the way by picking out the music. I always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. I pastored there for 50 years in the little community of Shiloh. And God bless that ministry, and we're grateful for what there is there. We're in search of a new lead pastor, but right now we have Jim Lacey. He was in Greenville for about 13 years or early in his life, but he's our intern pastor until we get our new pastor. So give you an invitation at Shiloh. The services begin on Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, and a contemporary service at 10:45. In our Greenville campus, which is located at the old Calvary Baptist Church in the corner of Luray Street, we're just glad to have that service there, and that service is at 11 o'clock. Well, I think that takes care of the things I need to take care of, and I'm just hoping that my voice will hold out for the service. Our message this morning, we're continuing on our study of some illustrations, the way God explains his kingdom. And today we're going to be talking about God's kingdom wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be ready, like the Boy Scout, be always ready. He wants us to be ready, not only for his coming, but he wants us to be ready for the service that we can do for him. In the description so far of God's kingdom, we've been looking at it, you know, as the idea of life. And then we looked at an idea as a seed that needs to grow. And so now we're looking at the idea that it's necessary to realize you and I, God's made all of his preparation. You and I got to prepare for the kingdom as well. And you know, the main thing about the kingdom of God is that sometime in the near future, we don't think it can be very long, the Lord Jesus himself is going to come back, and he's going to take control of all these things that's getting out of control in our day. But you know, then we're going to start out with a song that should make us just think about it a little bit. Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready to meet the Lord Jesus? And this song says, I wish we'd all been ready. And you know, that's true for each and every one of us. We need to make sure that we're ready to meet this God and what he wants to do in our lives while we're here on planet Earth. And so we listen to this song, and I'll be right back, and we'll join together with the message and looking forward to to God's blessing. Thank you for tuning me in. God bless each one of you.
Life was filled with guns and war, and all of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. The children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. Time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Walking up a hill, one disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready.
There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Father spoke, the demons died. How could you have been so blind? There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. No. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
I hope we'll all be ready.
You've been left behind.
I hope we'll all be
ready. You've been left behind.
I hope we'll all be
ready. You've been left behind.
I hope we've all been ready. That's just a good thought, a very serious song. It's talking about one of these days when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, those that believe in him will be taken up to be with him, and others that have refused him and refused to come to this point of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished upon the cross for each one of us. If we do not believe in that, he tells us we'll be left behind. But I want us to be ready. I like the statement in that song. I wish we'd all been ready. So that's why this message is coming to you this morning. It's going to teach us some things that Jesus reminds us about his kingdom, how we can make sure that we're ready to be meeting with him and we're ready to face the realities of our life as we find ourselves today. Well, before we get started, though, I want to have a word of prayer. And once again, I want to remember you, the listening audience. You're my congregation this morning, and I appreciate being your pastor. I appreciate sharing the message with you, but I want you to know that I also care about whatever it is you're going through in your individual life. And God has told us to bear one another's burdens. So even though I don't know what it is that you're experiencing this past week, I just pray about many different things that happen, and we're just asking the Lord, if you're going through something like this, would he be pleased to meet with you and give you the encouragement and the strength that you need. So let's bow together for a moment. Father, once again, I come to you on behalf of the listening audience. I thank you for each person that's tuned me in this morning. They got ears to listen to the message that you have for us today. But dear Father, we want to begin with the fact that we're concerned about whatever they're going through in their individual lives. And I, as an individual, care about what they are experiencing from week to week. So, Father, once again, we come in their behalf, and we do a little prayer as we help carry the burdens that they're carrying. And we also, Father, come to you and ask for your special blessing to be upon their life. So some of them's going through some physical problems this morning. I pray your hand of healing, your hand of comfort, your hand of strength would be upon them, that they might sense your very presence with them. Some of our Father, it's just that we got up into this old age thing and we can't do the things we used to do. And some have been laid aside in nursing homes or in the privacy of their own home. And Father, they're just an elderly person going through a difficult time this morning. So I pray for all those older ones of the congregation this morning that's listening in as my broadcast, that you would be pleased to comfort and encourage them. Pray for those that's going through a financial time. You would bless and meet their needs. You said, seek the kingdom of God first, and all of these things would be added unto us. So, Father, meet their needs, those that's lost a loved one. I pray you'd continue to comfort them and give them the strength that they need, whether it's recently or to this is a period of time when the individual passed away and they're remembering all of that pain and suffering that they've gone through. I just pray that you would meet your every need according to your will. I want to remember those that may be having difficulty in the family. There's so many confusing things happening within families today. So I just pray, dear Father, you bless those that's having some kids that may be sideways or parents that's sideways with one another. Would you help them, Father, and meet their needs? And we'll thank you for that in that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. The kingdom of God. This is where Jesus is teaching things, but he's taking something that we can be aware of, something we can see. He loves to do that. He can take something that we see and we can understand, and he's doing it by comparison. He's saying, well, the kingdom of God is like that. And this morning, the kingdom of God is a challenge to us to be people that are prepared, people that are ready to go through whatever it is that we're going through in our life. God is the God of preparation. God provided everything we need. And God doesn't have any surprises that comes in his life. I always like to tell people, you know, when things happen and all of a sudden we think, man, how did that take place? Why, then we realize that we're just playing catch up with God. He knows everything. And I'm glad he does. And can I be honest with you this morning? I'm glad I don't know everything. There's some things I think it's better to just let it happen day by day as it takes place. So I would like to share some things that can hinder being prepared. And one of the things that I believe can hinder is the idea of laziness. I love how God's word teaches us a good lesson about laziness. You know what God used in the book of Proverbs? He used those little critters that we don't want to have in our house. Those little things called ants. Lazy people should learn a lesson from the ants, he said. They have no leader, no chief, no ruler, and yet they stored up their food during the summer, getting ready for the winter. So he asked the question, how long is a lazy man going to lie around? When is he going to get up and get busy? I just took a short nap, he said. A little folding of the hands and a little rest for a while. But while he sleeps, poverty will attack him like an armed robber. You know what God's saying to us? Preparation is, first of all, you ought to prepare your mind and heart that it's good to be busy. It's not good to be lazy. And then he uses the ant. I love those little ways that God does that in his word. The ant is a picture of the world's smallest worker who makes preparation for winter. He goes on to remind us to consider the ways of the ant. Think about this. You ever seen the ants that's going around by those little teeny hills or a big hill of ants? I've seen the big hills of ants when I've been in Florida. Every time you see an ant, they're either giddy gathering or they're building something. Every time you see an ant hill, you are seeing the results of a lot of hard work. They have no captain. They have no overseer. They have nobody that's ruling over them. And yet they have no bosses. And they have no parents with a strict personality of making sure you keep busy, constantly saying to you, get to work, get to work. They don't have any of that. The ants just have each other. And together they work and prepare so they can provide what they need in the winter. They get provision for that in the summer. And they keep busy. Their food is the harvest that they're planning ahead. They're looking ahead because they realize, even though we don't understand how they realize, that there's going to come a time when they can't do because the weather's going to change. They wouldn't last very long here in Michigan on top of the snowbanks, you know. This week, we're going to look at the kingdom of God and how you and I need to plan ahead and that you and I need to be prepared. We need to trust God for all of his preparation, but I love it also that we realize that he's reminding us. I've given you a good illustration in those little teeny ants that keep so busy that you need to get busy. You need to work on whatever part of your life you need to work on. Maybe it is the emotional part of your life. Maybe it is the financial part of your life. Maybe it is the spiritual part of your life. Maybe it is the realization that you need to face the reality of death. I love it in Psalm 23 when God said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." We need to realize that God's made all the preparation he needs to make for you and I, but we got to make sure we're ready. And I want to keep mentioning this if I can remind myself. I wish we'd all been ready. I wish we'd be ready for the things that we are as able to be as ready as we possibly can. You know, folks, I spend a lot of time with death and dying. I spend a lot of time with people who are crying and sorrows and grieving and giving up their loved ones and so on. This week, I didn't have funerals for all of these, but some of the funerals I did a little earlier. But I had 5 communal services this week where we released a person to the Lord's care, and those families had to let go of that person knowing that they were gone. They're not here on planet Earth anymore. And God is reminding us that he's telling us that we need to realize that he wants us to be ready for this thing called death. And you know something I got to tell you, because it's a part of my observation. One of the things that I've noticed with life is sometimes when a person's been sick, we think we're ready for them to depart. We know that it'd be better off for them if they was to be able to go home and to be with the Lord. But you know what, folks? We think we're ready, but when death comes, it still catches us off guard. God is saying to you and I this morning, he's going to be talking about a feast that he's got all ready. He's got a table all prepared for you. And it can even be in the presence of your enemies. He's got this table all prepared. And what we're going to notice through our message this morning is God is saying, come, come to me, come to this celebration that I want you to be a part of, because I've done so much to make this preparation ready so you could enjoy this celebration that I have. A celebration of the kingdom of God. The Bible we see is a thing about the celebration is spiritual discipline. It's something that God desires for us to practice. I believe it's good for you and I to have celebrations. You know, when you get my age, you celebrate in the morning when you wake up. You're just glad to be here for another day. And you know, sometimes we have some bad days. And I got to tell you, this past week, through the week, was able to get the pontoon out, the wave runner out of the water. I'm over here at the lighthouse today. Seems good to have all that equipment out of the water. You know, it was very difficult. The lake had raised several inches, and I was probably one of the last ones, not the last one, because there's still some docks in. But then when we got the time to be able to do it, and now everything's up on the shoreline. Everything's ready for the winter that's going to come. And I got to tell you, I celebrated that when that happened. I celebrated that it's out of the water. We're done for another year with the realizations we've got that taken care of. You know, I don't matter what it is. You can celebrate the littlest things. Sometimes now at my age and my wife's age, because she has to use a walker to get around, I just celebrate when there's a very close parking place next to where we're going, getting ready to go in. It's nice that there's some senior parking there and so on, you know. And we just celebrate. Yeah, think we're supposed to go to dinner today. There's a place here for us. We need to celebrate more than we do. And celebration is a good thing. And the Bible speaks about a lot of celebration. And we need to realize that God wants us to keep on praying and doing what he's asking us to do. Whatever happens, give thanks, because it is God's will in Christ Jesus that you do this. Don't put out the spirit of the fire. Don't despise what God has revealed. Instead, test everything. Hold on to what is good. Keep away from what is evil. That's in 1 Thessalonians. Celebrate the good in your life. Celebrate what God has showed you. You're going through a tough time this morning. Celebrate that this too shall come to pass. And we need to realize that's the way it is. I like this definition of what celebration is. It means to praise, to extol, to command, to give, to make famous, as you celebrate the name of the Most High God. I believe it's good and proper to have a routine time of celebrating the Lord Jesus and all that the Lord Jesus has done for you. I love communion at the church when we celebrate remembering his death and his burial and his resurrection, and remembering that he's coming again. And when he comes, we're going to have that great communion in the sky as God, the Son, the Lord Jesus will lead us. It is good to have special times of devotion or celebration, both on a personal level and on the community level. It's easy to live life routine, which can eventually become dry and mundane. We need to celebrate. These special times often offer us aid in living our life as we celebrate in worship of him. I love the story needed to show that all need to be prepared for a wedding supper that the king has sent out many invitations. His son was getting married, and he wanted people to come and be a part of that. He sent out invitations ahead of time, very early. And Jesus used this story to illustrate what he spoke about being ready. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who planned a wedding for his son. He sent his servants to those that had been invited. He did it earlier. Let him know this wedding's coming up this summer. Now it's time. But he sent his servants when he had everything ready. He said, it's time to come now. But all of his guests that he invited, they refused to come. He sent other servants to tell them who had been invited, I've prepared a big dinner. My bull and my fatted calves have been butchered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding. That's in Matthew 22, 1 through 4. An invitation to come and celebrate with the king as his son is getting married. And everything was prepared for that time, and he had everything really ready, and it was going to be a good time together. But the guests that he had invited, when he went to them, none of them came. I believe the invitation to the kingdom of God is to come and celebrate the Lord Jesus. come and celebrate that one of these days he's going to take the church, which is called his bride, home to be with him. God wants us to celebrate that it's prepared and it's provided. God's done everything he can do. A feast of spiritual blessings is waiting for you if you're willing to come. But you got to be willing to come. These refused, and he didn't take part in that. And that was very difficult for this king to accept, especially from the human side. I believe God's a lot better at taking refusal than you and I as humans are, but he reminds us that was something that was very difficult. A call to celebrate, and they did not come. The king's invitation to celebrate. Listen to what Jesus said about this. The king invited, but they paid no attention and went off, one to a farm, another to his business, while the rest seized the servants and treated them shamefully. Some of them even killed the servant that came and told him the invitation is there. The king was so angry, he sent his troops and he destroyed those murderers and burned the city. He said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy." It's so sad to read that. People paid no attention to the invitation that was given. And sometimes, dear people, that's the way it is today. People don't pay no attention to the fact that Jesus is telling us he's invited us to his kingdom, and he's got all kinds of spiritual blessings just waiting for us if we'll accept the invitation and come to him and come to the celebration. One day Jesus was headed into the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was that religious city. Now, did you hear what I just said? It was a religious city. And listen to what Jesus said. "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather you, your children together, as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." There's a religious city called Jerusalem, and they didn't want any of the prophets of God. They even stoned them and killed them and so on. And Jesus said so many times, "I just wanted to go cluck, 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 and then gather my little chicks under my wings. But you would not." That happens in your life, in my life. You know what he goes on? "Look," he says, "look, your house is left to desolation. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you see me when I come riding into Jerusalem. And the kids will be saying, 'Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" It's so sad to read that the religious center of that world at that time refused the Lord Jesus. And he killed the prophets that God had sent. And that's something that is very difficult. I want to share one more with you, and then we're going to listen to a song. So sad to tell you this other story. And it's a story about how he would be rejected and killed. There was a landowner, Jesus said, who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around the vineyard, he made a wine press, he built a watchtower. Then he leased out the vineyard to workers and went on a long trip. When the grapes were gathered ripe, he sent his servants to the workers to collect his share of the produce. Now I want you to notice what I already read, that the owner of this place of business, he had given everything that was needed for raising grapes and a wine press. He had everything there provided. And then he went on his trip and he's gone. And all of a sudden it's harvest time. And you know what? He sent his servants to get his share of the harvest. But listen to what happened. "But they took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned the third to death. He sent more servants and he did the same thing. They killed him. Finally, he sent his son. He said, 'You know, they should respect my son. I'll send my son.' And when the workers saw his son, they said one to another, 'This is the heir. Let's kill him and get his inheritance.' So they grabbed him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him." Jesus knew that one day he was going to be rejected. It's about that time that he said to his disciple, I'm going to go into Jerusalem, and I'm going to be rejected, and they're going to kill me, but I'm going to lay in a tomb, but I'm going to rise. And 3 days later, he came out of that tomb to tell us, it looked like Friday was over. It looked like he was defeated on Friday, but Sunday was a-coming, and he was resurrected. God's reminding us that his kingdom is forever. Well, we need to take a little break. My voice needs a little break, so we'll listen to a song. And this song is just bringing back again the thought that I said. He gives us an invitation that we might come to him. And as we listen to the song this morning, I'd just like to have you ask yourself, have you come to Jesus? Have you come to him to get forgiveness of sin, the hope of eternal life? Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Come ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care. New unholy feelings struggle in your breast. Bring your case to Jesus, he will give you rest. Have you by temptation often conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you. You claim his best in the Holy Spirit, he will give you rest. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly.
He wants us to come to him, folks. He wants us to message is come. And that's what he's reminding us. Whatever it is you're going through in your life today, he's reminding you, you can come to the Lord Jesus because he cares for what you're experiencing. And if you're concerned about this thing called the dying process, come to the Lord Jesus and make your peace with him, is what he's saying. You need to be prepared, because these things are all going to be a part of our individual life. Well, the invitation was sent out. I love the way it is stated in the book of John 1:11-13. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right or the authority or the power to become the children of God. Can you imagine that? He's saying to you and I, if you come to me, I'll make you into my child. He said, this child of God who was born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, the humanness, not of the will of man, but is born by God. God gives us this new life that we can be a part of it. But listen to what Jesus shares in this story. He tells us about those who rejected his invitation. And then, you know what he did? He expanded his invitation. So the servant came and reported these things to the master that they wasn't going to come. Then the master became very angry, and he said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, bring in the crippled, bring in the blind, bring in the lame. And his servant said, sir, what you have commanded, we have done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servants, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled for my son's wedding. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited will taste any of the banquet. They're going to miss out because they refused the invitation. We don't want to be a part of refusing the invitation. But I love it that God expanded the invitation. He expanded it as he reached out to others. And I love the people. I'm so glad the kingdom of God is about expanding. To those who are part of the kingdom of God, he wants to expand your life. But he also wants to expand the kingdom of God itself. And I love it that he reached out to hurting people. When Jesus was here in his ministry on planet Earth, the years that he preached and taught and did miracles, did you ever notice what he did it to those? He did it to those that were physically hurting. He did it to those that were spiritually hurting. He did it to those that were socially hurting and emotionally hurting. The only ones Jesus wasn't able to help is those that had a religion that wouldn't allow this person, Jesus, into their life. In this story, the king reached out. And when he said, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. I love it that there was still room even after they did all of that. And you know, you and I need to know. There's a song that says that. I won't be playing that today, but there's a song that says there's still room at the cross for you. There's still room in heaven for you. In my Father's house, Jesus said, there's many mansions. And there's not anything that says no vacancy. There's room for you. There's room for me. I'm so glad the kingdom of God is expanding out to those that are hurting people. We need to realize this message Jesus gave his disciples when he turned to heaven. For his disciples, he said to them, now, to the 11 disciples who went to Galilee in the mountain to which he had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Now listen. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I remember how special that is, that God's kingdom, he said. In the book of Acts, when they first got it started, he said, you can begin in Jerusalem, that's home, but then I want you to reach out further and further and further. And you know, that's what God wants from us. That's what God wants from the kingdom of God, and he's using the church of Jesus Christ to bring about that. He wants us to reach out beyond our walls of the church. He wants us to reach out beyond our own little community. He wants us to reach out in whatever way we possibly can. That's why I'm so pleased the radio stations that will let my voice be heard. I think it's so special when I think about it, that here I am 84 years old, and every Sunday morning I get to reach out long, long ways beyond our home at 255 West Long Lake Road, long ways beyond this lighthouse. This message is going out this morning. And I got to tell you, folks, that just is a joy to my heart. You know, I love the way that God said, he says, I just wanted to keep on going. I want you to keep on expanding it. I found a picture of, reminded me when I was a kid, I used to like to skip stones. We find a little pond, and you'll look around and find a nice smooth stone. And you know what I rejoiced and celebrated the most at when I would be throwing those stones? Is one just wouldn't make one skip, but it'd make one skip and come out of the water and make another skip, and sometimes it'd make two or three skips. I just got excited about that. You know what God's saying? Get excited about the fact that the kingdom of God is reaching out beyond your life and using your life to reach out beyond what you could think is possible for you to do. This kingdom of God is a kingdom of expansion, and God wants it to be true in your life. He wants to expand your life beyond what you could ever comprehend or think was going to be. But you know something, if we're not ready, I got to tell you, in your life and my life, there's going to be emergencies we're not ready for. We can be as ready as we think we can be. We can have a fund maybe set up to take care of some unexpected expenses. We can do some other things, but you know what? We need to realize that even when death comes, or if the Lord Jesus was to come back in my lifetime and just take us home to be with him, the question is, are you ready? Are you ready to go? Jesus told a story about being ready. He says, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. There's a big wedding taking place. And these 10 virgins were kind of the ones that were the greeters of the folks who came. So they went to the place where the bridegroom would be coming. I love the way Jesus teaches this. He says, five of them were foolish, and five of them were wise. Well, when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. They just took their lamps. But the wise took not only their lamps, but they took some containers of oil with them. And as the bridegroom was delayed, and all become drowsy and slept, but at midnight there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come, let's meet him. Then those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. Now that sounds like that was a pretty good preparation. There they were waiting for him to come. And God's asked us to be ready and waiting for Jesus to come into our life, into the things of our life. But he says, you know what? They weren't prepared. Answer doesn't always come as quickly as you wish the answer would come. Have you noticed that? That's why Jesus said, pray and keep on praying. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. He wants us to understand that this is something that we got to be prepared for. We got to be ready. Jesus said that to his disciples when he was going through the Garden of Gethsemane and all the agony that was inside of him. When he came back, he found the disciples all asleep. He was dealing with the fact that he was surrendering to God's will for him to die. And he's out there praying, not my will, but thy will be done. He's out there praying, Father, is there any way to remove this cup from me? He's saying, I don't really want to die this death. Not my will, but thy will be done. Can you imagine what it was like to him to come back and find the disciples asleep? And this is what he gives to us, and I believe it's for good for us today in whatever you're experiencing in your life. He said, watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. Be alert, watch, and keep on praying. In this story, it speaks of those who took extra oil for their lamps as being wise, and those who were foolish as those who didn't take any extra oil. And then all of a sudden, there's a delay in the bridegroom coming, and he doesn't come until midnight. And all of a sudden, there's a voice that says, the bridegroom is coming. I believe those 10 girls were ready. I believe they were dressed for the wedding. They had their lamps. But I got to tell you, only 5 of them was wise. They had some extra oil. And then, you know, when they heard he was coming, they woke up. They trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the other ones, the wise ones, give us some of your oil. Our lamps have gone out. But the wise bridesmaid replied, we cannot do that. There won't be enough for both of us. Go and find some and tell someone and find some oil. While they were gone buying oil, wouldn't you know it, the groom arrived. The bridesmaid who were ready went in with him to the wedding hall, and the door was shut. And later, the other five foolish bridesmaids arrived back there, and they said, sir, open the door to us. And the man said, the door is shut, and I don't know you. Who are you? Are you ready? We need to be ready. You know what the Bible teaches us? Be ready, because we don't know the hour when this Son of Man is going to come. That's why he's telling us. We need to be ready. We need to be ready so that when the invitation comes, the bridegroom is coming. We need to be ready to go in with him at that period of time. One more little thought I want to share with you before we finish for today. And I know this is not an easy message to listen to, folks. But I got to tell you, we do need to be ready people. And God's kingdom is, he's made everything ready for us. And we don't need to refuse it. And sometimes we do refuse it because we just don't realize what was so important in our life. You know, sometimes after you get to be my age, you can sit back and think about some of the things they did in your life. And I'm so glad, as pastor at Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years, I'm so glad that I learned this statement. You know, and I said it so many times, and I've said it so many times ever since then. You know, God is more concerned that you finish than he is that you get started. I realize you do have to start, but God wants you to have a much better finish than you had as a start. And I could experience that in my life, because I knew I didn't have a very good start as a little kid. And our family didn't have a very good start. But as time went on, and as we appreciated who God was in our life, and I started walking in obedience to him, you know what? I found out that God's been so good to me. And my finish is going to be much better than my start was. But God wants that for you. And God wants that for me. He wants it for every one of us. So Jesus told one more story. Jesus was a storyteller. And I learned that from Jesus, to make sure you can tell stories about the things you want to illustrate in your spiritual life. What do you think, he said. A man had 2 sons. And he went to the first son and he said, son, go and work in my vineyard today. And his son answered, I will not. But afterwards he changed his mind and he went. He went to his other son and he said, son, go work in my vineyard today. And that son answered, sir, I'll go. But he didn't go. Now, which of these 2 did what the father wanted them to do? And the people he was talking to, they responded, the first son, Jesus said to them, truly I say unto you, tax collectors and prostitutes will go into the kingdom of God before you religious people well. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and they were baptized. Even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your mind and believe him. So these two sons is what we're going to close with, as God tells us that he wants us to realize that it's not just the words we say, but it has to do with our action. And God wants you to know it has to do with your action. I love it when it says this, he changed his mind. Maybe you've kind of neglected the Lord Jesus. But maybe a message like this morning is why I'm preaching it, is to get you to change your mind. Jesus has got everything ready, and you need everything that Jesus has got. And Jesus is reminding us that as we need him, that we also need to know that he wants us to come to him. And if we come, he will receive us. And he'll give us all these spiritual blessings that he's given to us. So we're going to close with a song that simply says, don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. Allow me to be a part of your life. Allow me to be a part of what you want to accomplish in my life. And God bless you, and thank you for letting me share this difficult message with you, but a message that we need to hear. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me
broken spirit.